Robin. I'm the lead pastor. Welcome to Eastlake. We call this a church for everyone. And at Eastlake Church, we just want to create a place that's easy to come, a place for you to discover who Jesus is, how much he loves you. And take your notes, if you would. We're going to be talking today about something that I think is good for this time of year, because this is a great time of year. I mean, everybody gets a nice, clean slate. We can make all our resolutions, our promises. These are the things I'm not going to do this year. These are the things I'm going to do this year. You don't have too many failures. Nice, clean slate before us, and there's a lot of confidence in the air. It's like, this year I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's like this family, this boy was walking through the house. He had a baseball in one hand, bat in the other. He's like, I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. And he goes out in the backyard, and his parents said, oh, this is going to be rich. And so they open up the window, and they're listening. And he throws the ball up, and it's coming down. He's back like this. Oh, boy, he just, and he misses it. No problem. I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. I'm totally the greatest hitter. So he picks up the ball, and he throws it up again. He's watching it come down, this time uppercut. He misses it again. I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. He throws it way up there, and he's waiting with a smile on his face, and it comes down, and whoosh, and he misses it. And he reaches down, and he gets the ball, and his parents hear him say, I'm the greatest pitcher in the whole world. And you know how we kind of turn things sometimes? Right in your notes, it's the big idea this week. Jesus can help you stop making excuses. Because that's what happens this time of year. We get off and running. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then it starts to get a little difficult and the excuses set in. And Jesus knows all about it. Wants something better for us. We're going to take a look at a story today. And it's a Bible story. It won't take too long to get through. Look in your notes. We'll start to read it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, Benjamin Franklin said, a man that makes excuses is not good at much else. And here's why. When you make excuses, you never put the effort in to become good at anything. Because long before you get good, you make an excuse to get yourself out of it. And Jesus tells this story. He gathered some people around. He said, I don't want it to be that way for you. I've got an idea. So he tells them this story, a parable. And in this story, you'll read it, it's about these three different people. And in the Bible, a lot of times it's kind of cool to look at it like a little movie or a little play that you're watching. So let's look at it right here, okay? So here we go. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So what happens here is, you know, this master comes, he's got all these bags of gold, and he comes out and he gives each one a bag of gold. And initially, it kind of strikes me as unfair. And of course, a lot of times in my life, when things are unfair, that's when the excuses begin. It's like, well, how come he got 5 and he got 3 and I only got 1? Or maybe, like, I would have rather not had 5 bags, that's a lot of responsibility. And so all of a sudden now it seems, and isn't it true that when life seems unfair, it is so easy to use that as an excuse. It's like, wait a minute, this isn't even fair. I'm not even going to try. I mean, you only gave me, like, 2 bags. That's not fair. And, of course, when it comes to unfair, I'm usually just concerned with unfair when I feel like I get the smallest piece of the pie. That's when it's unfair. For instance, let's say me and 3 other people, we're all in line for a promotion at work. So there's 4 of us. We all want this promotion. It means more money, more responsibility, better jobs. We all want this promotion. And so there's 4 of us that wants it, and I get the promotion. I never go home and say, gosh, the most unfair thing happened at work today. I mean, I can't even believe it. It was 4 people that wanted a job, and it's so unfair that I got the job. I mean, can you imagine those 3 other people, how their poor families? I mean, it is so unfair, babe, that I got this job. I don't think so. Are you like that? It's not unfair if I get the biggest piece of the pie, but if I get the smallest piece of the pie, then it's unfair. And so you got this thing going on, it's unfair. And so the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags went to work and gained 2 bags more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So here's the thing I want you to see right off the bat. It says that they went at once. Now I have this New Year's resolution I made several years ago. I'm going to run several times a week, 3 miles. I'm going to run 3 miles in the morning. So I get up in the morning, and you should see me is I'm getting ready to go out and run. So it's like 6:30 or 7, you open up the Venetian blinds, it's dark and cold and snowy out there, and all of a sudden, it is so critical that I check my email and make sure that President Obama has not sent me an urgent message that I have to like see and respond to. Or like, I gotta floss my teeth, which I, you know, it's really important to go running, you know, you gotta have your teeth flossed. Or, you know, all of a sudden, which I hate to empty the dishwater, the dishwasher has to be unloaded. I gotta get to that before I go running. The trash has to go out, or whatever it is. My running shoes need new shoelaces. And I just delay it and delay it and delay it and delay it. I don't go at once. You got anything in your life you're delaying? And here's why I like to delay it, because when you delay it, it doesn't mean that you didn't actually do it, because something critical came up. I meant to do it. I was going to do it. I totally intended to do it. It's going to happen next time. This time, I just had some things come up that I had to do. So, like, you don't quite feel like you failed. You don't quite feel like you copped out. You just feel like some other stuff came up. And they come up for me, like, every time it's time to run. Is there anything in your life that you're delaying? And it's actually an excuse. Now here's the sad thing and why Jesus wants something better, because we end up delaying and creating an excuse, and then we go without the very thing that we say that we want. We miss out on it. In the Bible, there's a story about David, and he kills the big giant Goliath, and in the story, he just has a sling and a rock, and here comes the big giant towards him. And it says in the Bible that he ran towards the giant. So here comes David. He's kind of a kid. He goes running towards the giant, you know, running towards, takes a sling, hits him in the head, knocks him down, takes the dude's own sword, cuts his head off, and comes back into camp with the head of the giant. If you've ever killed a giant in your life, it's like an awesome moment when you bring it in. I remember when I got off all the drugs, no more drugs for me, I'm totally free from drugs. It's just like, I got this one. You know, and he's like, are there any giants in your life? And you're looking forward to the day when you can hold the head in your hand and go, this, I killed this. This used to mock me and hurt me and stop me. I killed this giant. And they asked David, they said, how did you learn to do that? I mean, he just ran out there at once. He goes, oh, I didn't learn that right now. I've been doing that for a long time. I used to be a shepherd. And sometimes a wolf would come in and attack the sheep. And I learned that if something starts to attack me, I attack it first. So when it came time to get the giant, I just did what I've always been doing. Here's my point. Doing it at once is an attitude, not an action. It's an attitude. And they had developed some sort of attitude, like, okay, I got these bags of gold, off I go. So they did it at once. And they just ran out towards it. Now, as you get ready to go into this year, is there anything that you really want to see occurring? And instead of delaying and pushing it off, is it time to do it at once? Now let's keep reading. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. After a long, long time. So if you're anything like me, when things take a long, long time, or I think they're going to take a long, long time, that's an easy excuse for me to say I'm not even starting. You know, who's ever been sentenced to go down to the DMV? You're like, I don't want to go down there. Why? It's going to take a long, long time. I don't even care. My tags could be 7 years old. I do not care. I'm not going. Because none of us really like to wait. Is there anything in your life and you look at it and you really want it to happen? You're like, man, I got to lose 50 pounds or I'm going to go back. Do you know how long I put off going back to school to get my degree? I put it off because I'd get right next to it and then I'd look down there and I'd say, this is going to take so long. I'm not even going to start this. There's a lot of things that we want to see happen in our life, and we look at them and we say, this is going to take a really super long time, and so I'm not even going to try. I was in northern Russia, and I went there to do some public speaking, and I met this Russian guy, and his big dream was to go across the border into China and tell people about Jesus, people that had never even heard that name before. The problem was he had to learn Chinese. The Russian guy's got to learn Chinese. And there's no interpreters. He has to go by himself undercover. He has to speak Chinese to all these people. I'm like, whew, Chinese. I've seen all those little squeaky. That looks like a hard thing to learn. And I said, well, how are you doing with that? And he quotes this proverb to me. You've heard it before. Maybe you've heard this before. It says, you can eat an elephant if you eat it one bite at a time. Yeah, he says. So he says that to me. And then I'll never forget this. He looks right at me. And in this Russian language, looks right at me, he goes, the ear is gone. And I'm like, you know, and I wish I could, in my mind, I'm thinking, the ear? Brother, you got a long ways to go, man. Because this is what more it is for me. Is like, I just see the elephant. And even when I get all the way through the ear, I'm like, I'm full already, man. I can't eat all that. That's going to take way too long. Normally for me, it's when I'm into it a little ways. Okay, here I go. It's January. I'm losing the weight this year. I'm running this year. I'm going back to school this year. I'm going to go to that person and apologize. I'm going to make that relationship right. And then you're on your way and you start realizing that the ear is just gone. This is going to take a long time. I don't think I want to try anymore. So two things I want to ask. Who's standing right on the edge and you're looking ahead and you're going, whoo, that's 3 or 4 years before that'll be done. I don't want to try anymore. Or you got into it a little ways and you felt the pain, you started to get full and you realized, man, that's just the ear I've eaten so far. There's a whole elephant to go. Because when it takes a long time, and some things do, it's so easy to make an excuse and push it aside. Now it's just going to take way too long. So let's keep reading. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold brought the 1/5 to the master. He said, you entrusted me with the 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the next guy comes, a man with 2 bags of gold came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've gained 2 more bags for me, blah, blah, blah. I put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So what happens is they show up, they win at once, and they get it all taken care of. And when they come back to the master, this is something to keep in mind, there'll always be a settling of accounts in life. Now, I know there's people in your life, you're looking at them right now, and you see all the crap that they're doing. You're like, man, when are they going to have to have consequences for what they've done? And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. It doesn't, like, it's not fair. This guy at work the other day did something to me that I didn't think was very fair. I went up to him and said, that's not fair, man. He goes, Robin, I'm going to tell you what I tell my little daughter. Life's not fair. Anybody ever told you that? Does that make it all better? No. And in this story, you know, here they are, you know, and the master comes back and he settles accounts with them. And I've noticed this in my life. Sometimes I am so anxious to settle accounts because I'm like, finally, I've been waiting forever for my reward. And finally my reward arrives. And some of you are like that. You're in relationships right now. You're trying to do it God's way. You're putting God first in your life. You're trying to do it. It just seems like going, going, going. When is it ever going to happen? When am I going to get married? When are they going to get? I mean, when? When is the reward coming? There will be a settling of accounts. And then other of us might be have done something a little wrong, and we're thought, oh, I'm never going to get caught in that. Here's what these two that are anxious to settle accounts find out, that there is a principle in life. And here's the principle. Here's God's principle, is that even when God gives me a few, it becomes more if I'm faithful with what he's given me. Now, just jot in your notes somewhere because this is important for you to get. What is a principle? Here's what a principle is. A principle is something in life that remains true regardless of the circumstances. So, they haven't settled accounts yet. When's it going to happen? You start to wonder, when's he coming back? They probably thought, is he ever going to come back? And you may be in a place right now in your life when you're wondering, is it ever going to turn out like I need it to? Here's the principle. It will. There'll be a settling of accounts. And if you've been faithful with what has given, even if it's a few, it'll become more. Now, here's a principle. I brought a little beanbag today as a sermon illustration. Here's a principle. The principle of gravity, okay? So gravity is a principle, regardless of the circumstances, it's going to happen every single time. So it doesn't matter who's holding this beanbag up here. You may like the beanbag person. You may not like the beanbag person. Be an old person with a big beard, no beard, girl, little tiny girl. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who has the beanbag. Has no relevancy at all. You may hate them, like them, love it. Doesn't matter. Because if they drop the beanbag, the principle takes over. And in life, there's principles. And they're more true than our circumstances. And sometimes when we go to settle accounts, we go, this is so unfair. Well, the principles will always be true, regardless of my circumstances. Is there any principles in your life and you've come up against them and you're like, oh man, and the principle is just going to happen. And they come and they settle the accounts. And, of course, they're very anxious to have the accounts settled because they learn this principle. Please catch this. This principle that if I'm faithful to God, even if it's a few, it'll become many. Now, as you look at this next year, How many have said, I have to have more before I can even begin? I have to have more money. I have to have more time. I have to have more house. I have to have a more and better car. I just have to have more before I can even begin. It's like this one right here. Once, if I know that if I just lost the 50 pounds, then I could manage it. You know, I'd eat right, and my diet would be right, and I'd run everything. If I just could have a magic thing, or if I have them, actually, you can just suck it out, but that's another thing. But anyways, you know, it's just like if I just had it right now, I could do it. And that's not true. That's not true at all. What's true is that even if it's a few things, and you're willing to manage it and be faithful to God. What's being faithful? Just putting God first in whatever it is. Just put God first. That's all. It doesn't matter the size. Just put God first. And even if it's a few, it'll become many. So what is it that you'd like to see increase? Because make a note of this. It's interesting in this story. Two of the people increased the gold. One person protected the gold. Two people saw it increase. They increased it. One person protected it. The people that saw it increase, here's what they did. They started right now, at once. And secondly, they believed that even though it was a few, it became many. Okay, let's look at the next guy right here. Here we go. The man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So here now the blame game comes. It's like, you're responsible for the choices I made. It's your fault I made these decisions because I know how you are. I know what you did. I'm not responsible for this. You're responsible for it because of what you did. That's this servant. And by the way, anytime you try to protect yourself, that's where you go. Everybody else, not me, because I'm protecting myself. And when you're protecting yourself, it can almost seem like it works. I mean, it's interesting in this one because he seems pretty confident. He walks up, he says, you know, imagine if this is your boss. He goes, I know what kind of boss you are. I know what you're all about. He has a lot of confidence. All of a sudden, when I protect myself, this is interesting, when I protect myself, a defeat can almost seem like a victory because emotionally I protected myself. I never went back to school, so I didn't have to suffer failing a class or not being prepared and being embarrassed. I didn't have to drop any classes. I didn't flunk out of college. I protected myself from all that, and that feels pretty good. Actually, that was a victory that I didn't go back to school. I never went and tried to apologize and ask forgiveness and work out the relationship. So we never got in a fight, and they never yelled at me or embarrassed me. And that feels so good. It's like it was a victory not to try to make that relationship go well. When you protect yourself, you can almost feel like, man, I'm doing good in life. This is awesome. You don't even realize you got one dirty bag in your hand. One dirty bag. And I'm not saying God is easy to figure out. That's kind of what he's saying. He's saying, God, I can't figure you out. You're so unpredictable. I mean, I don't even understand you. I know how you are, God. You never take no for an answer. And by the way, it's oftentimes not fair when someone asks you to do something that you never said you'd do. They're just going about their daily work, and he rolls up with his bags of gold and says, come on, everybody, here's what we're going to do now. They're like, whoa, I never signed up for bags of gold. And it does seem unfair when someone calls you up and says, my husband and I really need a break this weekend. Can you take my 9 kids who need to go to the insane asylum? Like, could you take them for the weekend? You're like, whoa, I just said I wanted to be friends. I didn't say I'm going to watch your kids. That's not fair. You know, when someone asks you to do something, this church, you wait until we grow. We've been through this before. When we grow, it won't be as easy to park, and you'll have to help do things. And you're going to come in and go, whoa, I just wanted to come to church and laugh a little bit and hang out for an hour, drink some coffee, and go home. I never said I wanted, like, this isn't fair. How dare them? I came to take my same seat that I've had ever since you started the church. I walked in. There was visitors in my chair. The nerve of them sitting in my anointed holy chair where the power of God comes down because I sit there. That stuff's all going to happen to us. It won't seem fair when you're asked to do something you don't want to do. That's what happens in this story. And it's the oddest thing when you turn when you turn a defeat into a victory. And God's hard to predict. This last week, there was this guy I work with. He's a salesperson. I'm a salesperson. And I knew he was lying. And he was lying to get this sale and get some money that was mine. And so, and I've got him red-handed. I mean, I know he's lying. You can even tell by the way he's talking because, you know, we've all lied. So we can tell when other people are lying. Why? Because we lie. You know, we all know how to do that. And so I'm looking at, oh, this guy's lying like a rug. And I'm just about ready to bust him. And the Holy Spirit gives me this nudge. Give him the sale. I'm like, that sounds like the devil. That's not God. God wouldn't want him to have the money because he's a liar. That's one of the big Ten Commandments, God. You wrote that. What are you thinking? You know, give him the sale. I'm like, how crazy is that? So I said, it's cool, man. You just have this right here. And I did my best to give it to him. And I went away thinking, God, just like this servant. It's like, I don't understand you. I mean, win, win, win. Try, try, try. It's always the same with you. I never know if you're going to say yes or no. You never get up. You just try, try, try. You just keep trying to win people. Well, how does this make sense? That week, I thought of that movie, La Mis. If you've ever seen it, it's really crazy. There's a convict that gets out of prison, and he goes into this place where a priest is. The priest takes him into his house. He treats him, does all these cool things for him. But the convict, the minute he can, he grabs the silver candlestick holders, and he puts them in a bag, and he runs off. The priest has been really good to him, cool to him, but he steals them and runs off. Ah, the police bring him back. So they caught this guy right here, right around the corner. He says, look, we got your candlestick holders back. And the priest turns and says, he didn't steal those. I gave those to him. And the police, they don't have any choice. They have to release the convict. And there's this great scene where the convict just absolutely breaks down crying. And that's when he gives his life to God. That's when God is able to save him. That's when he turns to God. And I thought of this guy I work with, and I was like, Lord, he's like, listen, here's what he showed me. He said, listen, he knows how to get caught in a lie. He knows how to lie again and again and try to get out of it and tell another lie. And he knows how to swear up and down that he's not lying. He's done all that before. He knows how to do that. That's not going to get through to him. What he doesn't know how to handle is when he knows he's lying and he knows the person knows he's lying and they give it to him anyways. He doesn't know how to handle that. And sure enough, he couldn't look me in the eye for 2 days. And about a week later, he did something that was so uncharacteristic for him towards me. I would even call it a blessing towards me. It was really a cool thing he did for me. And I was like, God, man, you, no wonder they call you God. You're smart, man. That's pretty good. In our lives, and I know you might be thinking, oh, Robin, come on, that guy, he's just going to take that money. He's going to lie and never even look back. You know what? It's not my place to decide because it's not my money. It's not my job to save him. It's God's money. It's God's place to save him. I just obeyed. And we'll see what happens. But this guy, he's like, whoa, wait a second, God, because you're not fair. Well, you're really fair when you do things the way I want you to do them, but a lot of times you don't. You don't do it the way I think it should be done. I can't control you. I don't know what to do with you. And it is true that God seems the most loving and most fair when he does everything the way I think he should. He sees the world that I see the world. Now you're a fair God when we're on the same page, or I mean my page, because actually I'm sort of God and you're sort of my power pack that gets everything done the way I want you to. And no relationship works that way, including one with you. Try that with anybody you know. Try it with anybody you know. Just sit them down and say, listen, I love you so much, so what we're going to do is just have one agenda, mine. And your job is to follow it. See how that works for you. It doesn't work that way with God either, or your spouse, or your girlfriend, or your friends, or your kids. It does not work. And God's the same way. Now, here's what maybe happened. Maybe, this is a maybe now. Jesus tells us stories. He lets us run off and think whatever he wants. Tells us, maybe he was mad because he only got one bag. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he's like, give me one bag, show you. One bag, I'm just as good as him. He think he's better than I am? Give him 3 bags? That guy got 5 bags? You know, I know things about that guy. I can tell you. He's not a 5-bag guy. He's not. I'm at least a 2-bag guy. Have you ever been that way with God or anybody else? So here's what it is. It's, God, I'm not satisfied with my portion, my house or my car. Or, you know, I'm not satisfied with my kids. They just won't listen. They're heathen kids. And just, God, please, I want this. I'm not okay, God. I just, no. Don't give me that one bag, God. Don't you, God, don't drop that one bag. God! You get angry, upset. And you never think about taking what you have and increasing it. Because you're too busy looking at that dude in the Toyota FJ going, why am I driving a minivan? God. So you never take what you have and increase it. Here's the key to your next year. Please hear this. What do you have? Who are your kids that God blessed you with? What house do you have? What body did God give you? What job did he give you? What boss did he give you? That's what you have. 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 Now, this is the year that Jesus can help you increase that. See? Increase that. And by the way, what you have is always enough. Because I know sometimes the tendency is to say, this isn't even enough to start. If you have anything, it can increase. Now let's see what happens here. So turn your notes over. Let's read a little bit more. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So I don't know, you may be thinking, woohoo, I don't want to get that in a little fortune cookie because that's not good news. You wicked, and you know, sometimes when it comes to Jesus, we can't imagine him saying these type of things, but here it is, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit in the bankers, so when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And so this is interesting because, listen, I want you to make sure you get this one now. It's not wicked to be lazy. Because we all get lazy from time to time. It's not, listen, he's not saying it's wicked to be lazy. Here's what he's saying. He's saying it is wicked to blame somebody else for your laziness. It's wicked to confuse them and cause them doubt. It's wicked to make somebody else think, wow, how did I do that? I mean, what did I do wrong? And make them second guess themselves. It's wicked to turn it onto somebody else and make it seem like they're the reason for your laziness. That's wicked. Because you're hurting them and confusing them and making them feel like it's their fault. Now they're all confused and they're trying to figure out what's going on. It's like, it's your fault I don't get up in the morning and go to work on time and everything. It's like, what did I do wrong? So he said, that's wicked. Here's what's not wicked. Just raise your hand and say, I was lazy today. I sat on my butt. Sorry. I'm lazy. That's not wicked. It's going to be a problem, but it's not wicked. And here's the definition of laziness. Anytime I have the power and time to do something, but I don't do it because I don't want to. That's laziness. That's all it is right there. I could do it, but I don't want to. That's laziness, and we're all there. And so it's really refreshing sometimes. This is just so refreshing just to go to somebody and they say, why didn't you do that? Just say, because I didn't want to. There's going to be consequences. I know there is, but it was better to sleep and not go to work today. It was better to sit on my butt and watch the football game. It was just better. Why did you do the dishes? I didn't want to. Well, there's not going to be for you tonight. Well, I wish I could change it now, but she didn't want to do it. You can just fill in the blank on that one, so whatever. Laziness is a problem because there's lots of things to do in life that are really important and I don't want to do them. And you have to develop a character trait that you're able to do what you don't want to do. Now, it's wicked to blame other people, and that'll keep you trapped. That'll keep you lazy forever. I'm not lazy. It was their fault. It's something that's wicked. And so that's what he's saying to him. He said, that's wicked. You're trying to make it my fault. He sees right through it. He doesn't buy it. He says, wait, you're trying to make this whole thing my fault? I gave you a bag of gold. Hello? It's my fault? He goes, it's not my fault. That's wicked that you try to confuse me and make it seem. When is the last time that somebody tried to make it your fault? And it really confused you and slowed you down and hurt you, and you didn't know what to think. Girls go through this right early ages. Well, she wanted it. Yeah, I mean, had her arm twisted up behind her back, laying on top of her, and she was like saying, that hurts. I was like, well, just hold up. You know, she wanted it. There's lots of young girls that start out in life. They don't know what to do with that. Did I want it? Did I not want it? I guess I smiled at him, and she's like, that's wicked. just wicked. And he tells him that. When is the last time somebody did something? I just want to let you know something here. Religion oftentimes will make it seem like it's my fault. And that's wicked. Jesus will never do that to you. He can handle your laziness. But he will not let you be wicked. And he will help you if you're confused because someone has made it seem like it's your fault and it's not. So he gets into this whole thing and he says to him, this is the greatest thing, because he says to him, he says, listen, it didn't have to be this way. And think about the story. All three of them did a lot of work. It's a lot of work to dig a big hole in the ground. This is what I've noticed 1,000 times. Every shortcut becomes a long cut. Every time I'm lazy, I create more work for myself. Think about this poor servant. Well, this is a lot of work. He has to dig a big, big hole, has to like put the bag of gold in the hole, put the dirt back over it, put a bush or something so it doesn't look like anybody's there. And then he goes away and goes, oh, man, I got to guard this thing now. A dog will dig it up. Somebody's going to get it. So he 24/7, he's worried about the gold, had to do a lot of work anyways. Tons and tons of work he has to do. Anytime I'm lazy, I've noticed this, I end up doing more work. And he says to him, he says, listen, if you just could have seen who I really am, you could have just taken it to the bank. Give it to the professionals. They'll lock it in a safe. You could have walked away from it. You caused yourself so much more work because you were lazy. Now, if you have an attitude running around in you, and it's kind of a big one, I don't want to do that, and you don't, then you're going to have to, like, figure out what's up with that, because you'll end up doing more work in the long run. Jesus doesn't want that for you. He could have come back and said, here's your bag of gold, and here's a little bit that I earned with interest, and I'm kind of confused about who you are, but I'm doing the best I can, God. Here, like, whatever happens, happens. He didn't do that, though. Let's keep reading. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Here comes the principle. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. You think, that's not fair, God. Don't give it to the one with the most. Well, here's the principle. If you had a few and you're faithful, it becomes more. And this guy's probably thinking, whew, this is becoming a lot now. I got a lot here now. And sometimes, I don't mean this to sound wrong, but sometimes we see him as such a wimp. He's like this long-haired hippie with blue eyes wearing a sheet going around passing out flowers. That's Jesus. Have a good day. God bless you. We don't see Jesus saying this stuff. We don't see that. But let me tell you something. Jesus has a kind heart, but Jesus is strong. They nailed him to the cross. Listen to this. There's this great story in the Bible. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, when he was on the cross dying, he looks down and his mother had come and she's at the foot of the cross. His mom comes and she's at the foot of the cross. And Jesus is strong enough that he looks down at her and he says, Mom, listen, I thought this whole thing through and I've already made arrangements for you to live with a family. I picked one of my best friends, Mom, and he's going to take care of you the rest of your life. How strong is that? If you have ever wondered or questioned Jesus, he is strong. And he comes at him very strong. He's like, whoa, you are really turned. And I can get pretty turned around in life. The way I see myself or God or the world, I can get really, really turned around. And look what he says to him. Whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's like, holy mackerel, that's what's going to happen to the 49ers when they lose. They're just all going to gnash their teeth. Oh, God, we lost again to Seattle. Oh, oh. That's coming. If you see someone with a jersey, be sure to tell them. But anyways, make sure they know that. That'll be good for them to get prepared to gnash their teeth. But anyways, back to church. So Jesus throws this guy out into the darkness, and you're thinking, Lord, that doesn't sound like you. That's not a loving, pass-out-flowers God. Why would you throw him into the darkness, Lord? And it's interesting that he says to him, he calls him servant. So Jesus hasn't given up on this guy. He's still his servant. And here's what I want you to know. I'm just telling you from my own life. Sometimes I do have to go to the darkness if I'm ever going to see the light. I know it seems really super harsh, but here's what he's really saying. He's saying, you know what? You cannot see the light. I'm going to have you go out into the dark. And while you're out in the dark, you'll be able to see the light out there. And I don't like to learn the hard way. I don't like to learn the hard way in my marriage. I don't like to learn the hard way with my kids. But honestly, sometimes I just can't see the light. And then after I've totally screwed up and I'm out in the darkness, and then Jesus can whisper and say, hey, I'm right here. See me? And I'm like, oh, there you are, Lord. He hasn't given up on him. He calls him his servant. Do you know why he puts him out in the darkness? Because ultimately, he doesn't want to lose him. He doesn't want to lose him. He knows if you could just, it's quite a confident statement. If you could just see the light, I know you'll come be with me. Now let's look at a couple places of application, then we're done. Number one, Jesus sets you up to win. So you saw in this story, when he gives them the bag of gold, he says he gave them each according to their ability. So Jesus is not, you know, it's like that basketball coach that lines everybody up and says, okay, if you can slam it, you can be on the team. You know, what's the problem with that? What does everybody know? White boys can't. Yeah, that's the problem. So I don't get to be on the team because I can't slam it. Everybody that can slam it, you can be on the team. That's not God. He sets you up to win. Do you know the guy with the one bag? Here's how he got he totally misunderstood God's heart. He said, one bag. I'm not a one bag guy. That was a way that Jesus was loving him. So he made sure that what he gave him, he could handle. Because he sets us up to win. Now you may be thinking in your life right now, I don't have enough of this or that. What if, just saying, what if he's giving you the perfect amount that you can handle? You have the perfect family, the perfect husband, you have the perfect job, you have the perfect future. He planned it all out. He came and said, I know you and I love you. I'll give you exactly the amount that you need so you can succeed. But if I just bail out and bag it, if I just get all turned around and feel like God's not fair to me, I just dig a hole and put it in the ground and nothing happens. Do you know, there is no plan B for your contribution in life, whatever you're contributing, whatever you bring to the table, your whole life, family, brothers, sisters, all your people like that, there's no plan B for you because there's no more you. There's no plan B for any of us. There's us and who God has made us and what he's made us to be. And our contribution. And he has set you up to win. Now the second thing, look at your notes. In God's economy, a few becomes many. I'm going to tell you a story about the bamboo plant in a minute. But before I do, I just want to say this to you. There is a principle. So it doesn't matter now. This is a principle every single time. Every time I drop this bag, every time, it's going to hit the ground. That is a principle. It doesn't matter if you say, I don't like gravity. It's stupid. That's still going to hit the ground. Your opinion doesn't even matter, nor does mine. And if you're thinking, gosh, it feels a little dark. What if in our country, just give you a what so, is it possible that in our country right now, our leaders and us and everybody else is painting our world really super, super gray so nobody can see the light? Because, I mean, everything's gray now. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong. Whatever feels good. I mean, that's just the world. Everything's gray. What if it's so gray, but the principle here, what it's, we can't even see the light. And here's what I want you to know. There is a principle. There are principles, no matter how gray it gets. There's principles. There's principles. There's principles. I don't care who stands up and says, gravity is no longer to be believed. Line them up and shoot them with machine guns if they believe it. Because right now, I say, gravity is not true. It doesn't matter, man. It is. And there is a principle. If you are faithful with whatever God has given you, he will make it more. Who are you married to? Who do you want to be married to? What job do you have? What kind of kids do you have? What kind of body did God give you? How much debt do you have? How much debt? Whatever. There is a principle. So last thing, write in your notes, in God's economy, a few becomes many, and then the bottom line, Jesus has trusted you with an opportunity. Come and share your master's happiness, and this is what it is right here when it comes to Jesus. All he's saying to them, he said, listen, you can just live under my protection if you want to.